If you want to turn over with me to Philippians chapter 2. Life is filled with people who set examples. Some are good examples and some are bad examples. And many times in life we may look up to certain people that are, you know, could be bad examples. And this morning we're going to look at a couple different examples of Timothy and Epaphroditus and what the Apostle Paul talks about, what the Holy Spirit talks about, what the Scriptures talk about. You know, Paul and Timothy are talked quite a bit about throughout Scripture, and you don't read much about Epaphroditus. But if you look here with me at Philippians chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, he says, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me." So the Apostle Paul begins with a short review of verses 17 and 18 because it's important to be reminded of the godly example that Paul was to Timothy and Epaphroditus. He says, "Even if I'm going to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice. I share my joy with you all." And he urges them to rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. Timothy was a very young man, probably in his mid to late teens, when he started traveling with the Apostle Paul. He has now been with Paul for 15 or more years. Epaphroditus had been with Paul in Rome for only a relatively short time, maybe a year or so. But he would have known Paul from Paul's earlier visits to Philippi. And both of these people were very influenced by the Apostle Paul. The source of Paul's joy throughout the Scriptures is seeing other people work, seeing the Lord's work through others. When you can lead somebody to a saving knowledge of the Son of Jesus Christ with Timothy, that brings you so much joy to see somebody working that life. Paul's joy was not dependent on his circumstances. Paul's joy was not, he was in jail at this time. He is miserable right now. But his joy came through Timothy and Epaphroditus. He could clearly see how God was working in the midst of him. God was using Paul's imprisonment to take the gospel to others, to the guards, and in Caesar's household. And other believers were encouraged and more bold in their own faith, as we learned in Philippians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul was proclaiming the gospel. God was being glorified and Christ was being proclaimed. Look at verse 18. In verse 18 he says, "For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me." He hopes that they will rejoice with him. Paul expressed that his desire for the Philippians was to rejoice with him over what God was doing and let them know how God was working in their lives. One of the reasons that praise and testimony services are so encouraging is because you hear how God is working in the lives of others. When you can see people working, when you can see the Lord working through others, it brings joy to you. You can begin to see how the Lord's working in your life. Share what the Lord's doing in your life with others. Share what's happening in your life so others can be encouraged, so that joy can be brought to others, so we can rejoice as the body of Christ. Look at 19 through 24, and this is the passage that will be with Timothy. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. In verse 19, Paul expresses some of his own plans and desires as why he was sending Epaphroditus back to them. Paul first explains his plan to send Timothy to them in the future. He says, "But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I can be encouraged when I learn of your condition." There's many reasons that the Apostle Paul wanted to send Timothy, and one of them was to learn of them. In verse 19, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy unto you shortly, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state." The first reason Paul wanted to send Timothy was so that he could be the means to fulfill Paul's desire to have that joy be shared with him, to see how the Lord's working in their life, to see the changes that are happening. Timothy would come and find out how they were doing, and then return to Paul and let him know what God was doing among them. This was not something that they needed to fear. Timothy was not coming to spy on them and report all their sins and weaknesses. Paul anticipated this as being a source of encouragement and joy. He wanted them to share their joy with him. You know, this was not a curiosity for the Apostle Paul. It wasn't something that he just thought up. Paul's hope was in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy. He was doing this according to God's will, as he explains in verse 23 and 24. He says, "Therefore, I will send him immediately as soon as I see how things go with me, and I trust in the Lord that I myself also shall be coming shortly." Paul's hope was to send Timothy immediately. But he had to see what happened, how things went with himself. Again, the Apostle Paul is imprisoned. He could not come himself. You know, and these verses indicate that Paul was expecting to be able to have his case presented before Caesar. He was hoping it would happen in the very near future. Paul always anticipated being freed and able to come himself. We learn that in Philippians chapter 1 as well. But at the same point, he could also be killed. Caesar, who was probably Nero at this time, was known to be arbitrary. There was no second guessing what he might do. He could throw Paul's case out. He could delay everything for an undetermined amount of time. Or he could have the Apostle Paul executed. But the Apostle Paul makes no reference or allusion to Caesar, but rather Paul specifically points out his hope to send Timothy or himself to come. Himself was in the Lord alone. We can be confident in the Lord. We can face the future with an assurance that God is at work in us and through us. We will be used for God's glory as we will seek out His will and follow it. This is what allowed Paul to rejoice in his circumstances and thinking the whole time that he'd be released, thinking that he would be able to come back to the Philippians. Look at verse 20 and 21. It says, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." You know, Paul describes Timothy's character here in verse 20 and 21. And a lot of versions says, "For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father." We find a wonderful example of a godly man. Again, Timothy was only in his teens when he met the Apostle Paul. Timothy continued to mature. And it wasn't many years before Paul started sending Timothy different places to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, to represent the gospel. He was sent to the people at Corinth. He was sent to Thessalonica. He was sent to Ephesus. He was sent to 1 and 2 Timothy. And that first characteristic that Paul brings about Timothy is in verse 20. He says he has a kindred spirit. Whatever you would say about Paul's heart and desire, you could also say about Timothy. And that word here for kindred spirit literally means equal souled. It speaks of a man who is a companion, a familiar friend, and an equal. And Timothy was Paul's protege. The other part that he goes along with the kindred spirit is he says he has a genuine concern for others. And all these different characteristics, I hope and pray that each and every one of us can say we have the same thing in us. The next characteristic Paul brings out about Timothy was his genuine concern for the welfare of others. He had a concern for the Philippians. He had a concern for others. Timothy already had a strong relationship with them. So it's no wonder that he had strong feelings towards them, and it was concern for their spiritual welfare. You know, I do it all the time. You know, somebody will come up to you and give you your problem, and all of a sudden you'll say, "Oh, I'm going to pray for you," or "I'm praying for you," just to get them off your back. You may never pray for them. Do you have a true, genuine concern for others? Do you have a concern for the unbelievers? Do you have a concern for those that don't know the Lord? If you're going to tell somebody you're going to pray for them, take the time and pray for them. Show that true concern like Timothy does here. We allow our life to get in the way. We allow our life to get busy. We allow things to cause problems. Take the time for prayer, especially for others. Look at verse 21. He says, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." The next characteristic Paul brings up about Timothy is that he always seeked after Christ's interest. This is done by contrasting him to all the others that would seek their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. Are we looking at everything for our own interest? Are we worried about our own self? Are we everything have to do with ourselves? Or are we seeking Jesus Christ? Timothy was the exact opposite of those men. He was single-minded, and he planned on serving Jesus Christ. And that's why he said he was a kindred spirit. You know, Paul's comments here are also very revealing about the sad state of the early church in Rome. Though Paul rejoices that the gospel is being preached there, which is Philippians chapter 1, 14 through 18, there are some doing it out of goodwill and love. The effect of those who did so out of selfish ambition had already taken its toll on the church. Apparently, those who did preach out of goodwill and love were not available for Paul. He states that Timothy was the only one that he could send, because he was the only one like-minded as the Apostle Paul, seeking the interest of Jesus Christ, and he was concerned for others. Many people are preaching the gospel for their own glory. Many people are preaching the gospel for their own pride. Many people are preaching the gospel. Again, the Apostle Paul's thrilled about that. But to be like-minded and to seek the interest of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to have that concern for others. Again, everybody seeks their own interests. Those that serve the Lord with selfish motives quickly limit how much the Lord can use them. You know how frustrating it had to have been for the Apostle Paul to be surrounded by so many immature believers that Timothy was the only one he could entrust with this task. There's many people that lack the maturity, the spiritual maturity that the Lord Jesus Christ talks about. We're young in the Lord. We have not had time to fully develop that Christian walk. Others lack maturity because they had not maybe been discipled before. And so even though they have been Christians for many years, they have only advanced to a grade school level. Many people show up on Sunday morning, get little bits and pieces. But we need to dive into the Word of God. We need to learn from the Word of God. We need to be here for Sunday school, for Wednesday night. We need to be growing together. We need to have discussions. Find opportunities. Find ways to share the gospel. Find ways for people to disagree with you to where you can find the truth behind it. Do it in a loving way. And that's why Paul or Timothy, each of us should develop that kindred spirit. I don't think the Apostle Paul was very argumentative. He shared the gospel, but he did it in a loving way. And I think each and every one of us can have that same thing. Paul continues on verse 22 and 23. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. He continues to describe that value of Timothy to himself. Timothy had proven himself in all his previous travels with Paul. His carrying out his assignments to all the different churches. The Philippian believers would have first-hand knowledge of this because of Timothy's previous ministry to them. Paul includes Timothy as a co-laborer or fellow bondservant of Christ in many of his other letters. It's important to note that Timothy served with Paul, not for him. They were fellow workers. They worked in cooperation with each other. They modeled to the Philippians what Paul wanted them to do by being humble, being of the same mind, same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Paul elevated Timothy from his youth and lack of maturity into someone who he valued as an equal. And Timothy never let his pride develop to think that somehow he ever surpassed his mentor. That is how we can work with one another in the church. We're all on the same level. We're all on the same growth. We're all on the same journey. But in many churches, we find church leaders that view those under them maybe as servants instead of the Lord's servants. They seek to protect their power base instead of encouraging and promoting those that are younger to develop their spiritual gifts. It's our job to lift up those to that. You know, I think of Liam and Hudson taking up offering today. It's part of the being the servant. It's how we raise them. It's how we lead them. It's how we guide them. You know, the Apostle Paul, again, in verse 23, he used the value of Timothy's present ministry to him so much that he thought he desired to send them to Philippi immediately. He wanted Timothy to go instantly. He was hesitant to do so until after he knew how things were going to go with himself. There's just many characteristics of Timothy. He had a kindred spirit. He had a true concern. He had a natural care for their state. He had a desire to do what the Lord Jesus Christ called him to do. If you look at verse 25, we can learn about Epaphroditus. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that he had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Paul speaks about the character of Epaphroditus and explaining why he was sent back to Philippi. And he thought it was necessary to send him, his brother, his fellow worker, his fellow soldier, to show them that he was still alive, so they could rejoice with him, knowing that Epaphroditus was not dying. Epaphroditus was very sick. It says he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him. Paul didn't want them to think for a moment that there was some deficiency in Epaphroditus. He wanted them to recognize what a wonderful, valuable man he was in the cause of Christ. Paul begins by his remarks that he was sending back because it was necessary to do so. It was not something Paul desired to do for himself, but rather believed it was something that must be done for the sake of Epaphroditus and the Philippians. Again, Paul calls Epaphroditus his brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier. It's his character, it's his value. And Paul accepts Epaphroditus as someone who belonged to the same family as himself, the family of God. You know, this is more than just recognizing him as a fellow believer in Jesus Christ. That term also carries with it the idea of intimacy with and commitment to one another. There's an impersonal affection that he has with Epaphroditus. The Apostle Paul calls him a fellow worker. Again, that shows the nature of the relationship they shared. Epaphroditus had been sent to be of service to Paul on behalf of the Philippians. He had been successful at this, and Paul found him to be a partner in the ministry. He also calls him fellow soldier. And this brings out the common struggles that they shared in serving in God's army against the common enemy. Epaphroditus was willing to share in whatever Paul had to go through. Good soldiers took out for each other, looked out for each other, and suffered the same hardship together. Epaphroditus had placed himself at great personal risk to be with the Apostle Paul, as demonstrated by his severe sickness. Epaphroditus had proven himself to be of great value to the Apostle Paul. He was a messenger and a minister. The Apostle Paul points out Epaphroditus' value to the Philippian believers who had sent him. He was first of all their messenger. He brought the financial gift from them to Paul. He was also the messenger of their love to Paul in both word and deed through his service to Paul. He was also a messenger in the sense of being their continual representative to Paul as he ministered to Paul. And that word here for minister is a title given to public officials that were highly respected and honored. Again, why was Paul sending him back? And he explains here in verse 26 through 28. He was longing for his friends and loved ones in Philippi because he knew they were distressed because they had heard that he was sick. It was a severe sickness that almost killed him. But what Paul says bothered Epaphroditus was not that he was sick, but that the Philippians were distressed about him being sick. He was in emotional turmoil because he knew his friends in Philippi were anxious about him. He greatly desired to be with them in order to comfort them that he knew he was all right. God had been merciful, bringing him back to health. Paul adds that his mercy was to himself as well. Otherwise, he would have sorrow upon sorrow. Again, something else that brought Paul joy. He had mercy on the Apostle Paul as well as Epaphroditus. You know, in verse 28, it's because he knew the return of Epaphroditus would ease their anxiety about him. They would rejoice. The Apostle Paul didn't want them worrying about Epaphroditus. Paul also adds that this would lessen his own concerns for Epaphroditus and for them. If he can bring them together and show that Epaphroditus is healed, it'll bring Paul joy. It'll bring Epaphroditus joy. It'll bring the Philippians joy. And look at 29 and 30. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service towards me. Paul concludes this section with instructions to the Philippians about how they were to treat Epaphroditus. With the joy, hold him high in regard. They were to receive him in the Lord with joy. They were to welcome him back and rejoice. He may not have been able to have accomplished all that he had originally sent him out to do, but any disappointment should be overwhelmed by having him back with them alive and well. They were to hold him in high esteem. Paul tells them to hold him up. They should recognize what he has risked and gone through and properly honor and respect him for it. Epaphroditus had come close to death for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had risked his life specifically on their behalf. The risk of his life was not just the sickness itself, But all the dangers of all the traveling, the way that he had to carry out the ministry. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death. Not regarding his own life. Epaphroditus was not worried about his own life. He was worried about the gospel. He was worried about spreading the gospel. He was worried about what the mentorship that he received from the Apostle Paul. And we see that a lot today with missionaries and different people. We can see when people give it their all. When somebody really gives their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, these are just a few characteristics of Timothy and Epaphroditus. What are you willing to risk in your own service to the Lord and others? Are you willing to follow the example of Paul, Timothy, or Epaphroditus? They are three different men with three different personalities, with different gifts, different talents, different lifestyles. But all of them were greatly used by the Lord Jesus Christ. They set serving the Lord as their priority of their lives. These are some good examples for each and every one of us. What example will you leave to your kids? What legacy will you leave behind? What are the priorities you have set for your life? Will they bring eternal reward or just some temporary satisfaction in this life? Now, verse 30, I just love. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his own life, to supply your lack of service towards me. Let us close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the life of Timothy, the life of Epaphroditus. We thank you that mentor, the Apostle Paul, was. We just pray that we can be in both spots. We pray that we can be an Apostle Paul, that we can be a mentor, that we can be a leader, that we can lead people to the path. But at the same point, we pray that we can be that Timothy and have a mentor. Have somebody to look up to. Have somebody to lead and guide us. Have somebody help us. Also, we pray that we can be Epaphroditus. That we are willing to give it all up, even to death. That we were willing to give it all up because you did the same thing for us. That we will share the gospel, that we will spread the good news, that we will tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. That we will have a kindred spirit when we do it. That we will show the love of Christ. That everything we do, we don't seek our own interest, but we seek the Lord Jesus Christ. We just thank you for the three examples that we learned from this morning, Lord. And we pray in your precious Son's name.